Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for downloading this episode and giving it a listen. It's a good one. It's a very, very, very good one. We've got Stu Gatz from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. Talk about the show leaving ESPN, going off on their own. A lot of stuff about what the current media landscape is like, and talks about just having that loyal audience, big following, and going after success after ESPN, and a bunch of other stuff in between. It was very fun, very entertaining, very enlightening. So stick with this one. You will enjoy it. Before we get to Stu Gatz, just a quick reminder. If you missed last week, we had Doris Burke from ESPN on the podcast, talking NBA, and Evan Longoria from the San Francisco Giants was on. And it's amazing. Longoria came on and talked about the big controversy now with the pitchers scuffing the ball using sticky stuff and, you know, using more than just rosin and pine tar. And he wasn't shy about talking about it, basically said every pitcher is using something, and now this is a big controversy. So make sure you listen to that. If you're a baseball fan, it's good insight there from Longoria. All right, let's get right into Stu Gatz right now on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, very excited, second time on the pod, and this time we get to do it face-to-face, so I'm excited, and I know the Stu Gatz army is excited, the Reddit crowd, you know, it's unbelievable what happens when this guy gets mentioned or is on the podcast, and he is Stu Gatz from the Dan Le Batard Show. How's it going, buddy?
Hello, Jimmy T. I miss you. I think a second engagement officially makes us friends. You're a friend in my imagination because I grew up with a million Jimmy T's. Okay, right. So, but now I think we're officially friends.
And I'm not gonna lie. You know, when you guys left ESPN, you know, because we all have out of control egos in this business, my first thought was, I hope the drop with my name continues on. I hope that doesn't mean it's over. So. Yeah,
it will continue forever, Jimmy. I promise you.
That was my first thought.
Yes.
Are you?
So your first thoughts, just so we're clear, when we left ESPN, we're not about us.
Forget your paycheck, your livelihood is on me. Where's my drop going to be?
The Stu Gatz is strong in you, Jimmy. That's why I like you.
There you go. I actually love the fact that you guys left ESPN, but we'll get into all that. And well, let me ask you this: Are you sick of talking about leaving ESPN yet? I mean, I'm sure. It's been nonstop since January.
I understand why people want to talk about it. I understand why they still want to talk about it, especially after the event we pulled off over the weekend with our new partners at DraftKings. So at some point, it's funny. At some point, we'll have to transition like, hey, okay, we've left there. We're moving on with the new thing. But I do understand kind of in the short term why people are interested in kind of how that came about and the whys and all that. And so I get it. Like, I understand. Am I tired of it? Yeah, I guess, because I enjoyed my time at ESPN. I really did. Dan enjoyed his time at ESPN. We as a show enjoyed our time at ESPN. It was just time for us, right? And it was time for them, I think, as well. And so I'm happy to talk about it. I would tell you this is probably the last time we're going to talk about it, like, because we just got to move forward with what's next for us.
So. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I should have mentioned at the top here, we got right into the drop with my name. And of course, I did a bad job, but I should mention. So we got the Dan Le Batard Show. It's on YouTube, Twitch, and everywhere you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify. It's still rolling, still going on. Big deal with DraftKings. They're just coming off a 24-hour marathon show called Freedom. So I want to get into all that. But we'll do ESPN quickly, and then we'll move on because, like you said, I it's been since January. But
sure.
I'm just curious. It's, you know, Dan, makes the ultimate decisions. And I'm just curious, when did you know we're not going to be here much longer? This isn't going to work. It's the party's over.
Okay, so this was kind of... This was unspoken communication, because when you're doing a show 20 years together and you have the relationship that Dan and I have developed and you get to know someone the way I've gotten to know Dan, right? I knew without even having a single conversation about it that the second ESPN decided to lay off Chris Cody, Dan's dad is Greg, who's a big part of our show. Dan will tell you that Greg was a mentor at one point at the Miami Herald. Dan and Greg are, I would be feel pretty safe in saying that Greg is one of Dan's five closest friends on the planet. They're really close, and by extension, very close with Chris, with Greg's son. So to answer that, Jimmy, like I knew the second they got rid of Chris, what that was going to set off inside of Dan. And I had a feeling that our time there was going to be short-lived. Right? Dan and I didn't speak about it. We didn't talk about it. I never asked him a single question about what it is we were going to do. I didn't know what we were going to do until he actually did it. And people find that to be amazing. But it's the way it went down. It's simply the way it went down. People within our own staff had trouble understanding how I didn't know about it. But I know Dan. I know how loyal he is, and I knew that was going to set him off in a way that wasn't going to be positive, and it did. And so I guess that was kind of the day where I said, okay, I don't know if we're going to make it through the current contract that we're in. I can't imagine we're going to be here much longer than a few months, only because I knew Dan and just how loyal Dan is to his entire staff. You know?
And it's an interesting answer because there were some issues here and there. There was the famous issue where Dan, the day after Trump did a speech about go back to where you came from, Dan had some thoughts on it. ESPN got mad because it wasn't sticking to sports. And then they cut your show, I think, in July of 2020, back from 3 hours. And it's funny, that wasn't the stuff that sort of, what's the cliche? Was the straw that broke the camel's back? It was basically messing with the staff and getting rid of one of your guys there in Cody.
Yeah, because our show, as I think people have seen, it's a family. It's a dysfunctional family. It's impossible for it to be perfect, especially 20 years. There's so many people involved in the show, so many different voices. So, but we truly are a family, and I include the audience in that. We all feel like we're in this together. No, so some of that stuff that Dan wanted to talk about, that quite frankly, Dan was hired to talk about, right? Like he's great. If you're not going to entrust Dan with topics like that, who are you going to trust, right? Not in our industry. We had lived with that for a bit. So like, and was Dan happy about it at the time? No. Were we happy about it as a show? No, but we were at ESPN. We were having a blast. And for the most part, I'm telling you, Jimmy, Dan will tell you the same thing. If he was sitting right here, they were great to us. They did not interfere with the show. Right. They interfered with his staff. They interfered with loyalty. They interfered with family. They interfered with 20 years. In Dan and Greg's case, 50 years of, 40 years of friendship. They got in the way of that. And so we could put a lot of that other stuff aside and deal with it. And, when the contracts come up, we'll kind of go from there. But when you start messing with the family a little bit, that's where it gets dicey for Dan and myself, to be quite frank with you. So
when it was over in January and it was announced in December that the show was leaving ESPN, and then in January, early January was the last show. Were you nervous at all about the future? Were you confident that you guys have such a loyal following, you'd be okay? I mean, this has been a theme here recently on this podcast when, we had the Kenny Mayne situation where, life after ESPN now is not daunting like it once was because there's so many opportunities out there. Obviously, you guys proved that with the DraftKings deal. 20 years ago, it was, you worked for ESPN or, maybe a couple of websites here and there, and that was it if you wanted to do maybe sports talk radio. But now, podcasts, streaming, all this, it's not a terrible time to be gone from ESPN. So what were the emotions there when it was over?
It was, so it's funny because for me, when I got into the industry, now the industry is constantly changing, as you just alluded to, right? So when I got into it, for me, the goal, I think we spoke about this last time that I was on with you, it was, hey, I want to get to WFAN or I want to get to ESPN. I got to ESPN. Jimmy, I stayed at ESPN 8 years longer than I thought I'd ever be at ESPN.
Right.
So I'm someone like me, right?
Yeah.
And my personality, and I'm grateful for that. So it was kind of bittersweet because I got to do things that growing up I only dreamt of doing, being a guest or, celebrity picker on College Game Day or filling in for Greeny or filling in for Golic on Mike and Mike or doing First Take. That's all stuff, that I wanted to do and I had the opportunity to do it. I wasn't really, so it's funny because Dan and I would spend a good amount of time in our 8 years there talking about, hey, if you leave ESPN, like there's no coming back from that. Only a couple of people pulled it off and pulled it off successfully. But as the media landscape started to change a bit and it started to clearly go more towards digital, more towards podcasting, I felt more and more confident that if we left, we'd be fine. So we're in this age, I think, Jimmy, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Mm. We have arrived in this age where people are realizing talent. They're realizing, hey, I can control my own content. I might give up a little relevancy if I leave ESPN, but I can control my own content, make my own hours, have my own schedule, have freedom, and still make pretty good money and have a lot of fun in the process of doing it.
Absolutely.
And so I think a lot of people are starting to realize it's not as daunting as it once was to actually leave ESPN. There is life on the other side of ESPN. And I think it's different for everyone. Maybe for some people, life is better at ESPN. They like that corporate structure. They want to be there. And maybe for some, life is better outside of ESPN if they're willing to sacrifice a little of that relevancy, because you do lose some relevancy, Jim. Like, yeah. I had my dad asking me, hey, where are you on? Like, do I have you? No, Jimmy, here's a great thing. My dad is 78 years old. He goes, do I have YouTube? I'm like, Dad, everyone has YouTube. Everyone has access to
That's
YouTube.
That's something my dad would say for sure.
I can relate. Hey, do I have YouTube? Jimmy, just to put a bow on that real quick. Dan and I had always felt confident, even at the beginning, because of our audience and the loyalty of our audience. And so, and we saw the podcast numbers. Jimmy, that was a repurposed, the podcast at ESPN was a repurposed version of the show we had just done. So we said to ourselves, hey, if we just put it there, that's the only place they're going to get it. I have a feeling the numbers are going to go up. And the numbers went up since we left ESPN, which is insanity. So we had the confidence to do this. The only confidence we had was the confidence that we had in our audience to follow us. That's it.
So I was going to bring this up later, but since you mentioned it, I do a little research for these things. So I was doing some Googling.
I'm impressed.
So do you know when you Google your name, they give you the list of questions people ask right at the top. The first question when you put in your name is, why do they call John Wiener Stu Gotts? Okay, fair. Right. Legitimate. Totally. The second most asked question, what is Stu Gotts going to do? So the people were worried for you when you guys left ESPN.
Well, I think what Dan was worried about was, what's I going to go, leverage him at every turn? Okay, right. I thought about it, Jimmy.
Right.
Yes. Right. I think it's a little bit of, is Stu Gotts is going to be okay, which I'm okay.
Yeah.
And and then what I think it was, people were legitimately asking is Stu going to stay with Dan? Because I think they probably perceived I like being at ESPN more than Dan liked being at ESPN. And that might be the case. I have no idea. Yeah. What I like is I like the show that we do. I like the environment that we created. I like the family that we've created. And Jimmy, you and I have talked about this before. There is going to be a time, I don't know when it's going to be, where, these things don't last for 20 years. So there's going to be a time where Dan's going to go his way and I might go my way, and it might exist all inside a Metal Arc at some point. I don't know, but there's going to be that time. That time is not right this second, as Dan and I just got started. So, I'm going to be fine. I have desires to do other things. I have, and I will have the opportunity to do those other things.
What are some of those other things?
Whether it's my own podcast or creating my own podcast network or, I love, like, one of the biggest thrills for me with my time at ESPN was being a college lacrosse analyst, because I love lacrosse so much. So I was able to do the women's Final Four there. I was able to do Big Ten games for Northwestern, where my daughter is attending school in a couple of years to play lacrosse. I did those this year for the Big Ten. So that's some of the stuff that I'd like to do. And then there's always that desire, like, hey, I've been sitting next to Dan for so long. It's an exaggerated version of who I am. I mean, you're getting me on steroids, right? Is what that character is. But I've always had these desires. Hey, can I drive a show? Can I lead a show? And can that show be successful? And those desires still exist inside of me. And so, at some point in time, I'm going to try that out. I got to scratch that itch, right? And these are all conversations I've had with Dan. And so, and I think when people are asking, is God's going to be okay? I think, or is he going to stay with us? I think they probably, within the character, within the framework of what we developed with me and actually who I am, is Stu Gotts going to call Fox? Is he going to call CBS? Is he going to leverage Levitard at every turn? I didn't do that, Jimmy. And I got to be honest, armed now with hindsight, I wish I had. Okay.
Yeah. Your agent probably was not
the hell out of him. I mean,
your agent was probably not happy with you at all with that.
Yeah. But he understands. Like he gets the family. Like he's had conversations with Dan. Yeah. So he knows him. He knows our dynamic. He knows our relationship. The things that I want to do outside of our show are things that I can now do within the framework of Meadowlark. Like, you know, after 20 years of doing this with Dan, I think that's freedom has a lot of different meanings as it relates to us and our show. But one of the freedoms we now have is we could stay together, we could divide and conquer. And I'm not saying that's what we're going to do. We just have freedom. We have freedom to do whatever the hell it is that we want. And that feels pretty good, I got
to
be honest.
Well, I wanted to ask you that because this will be like the last thing sort of that ties into ESPN. But I know you said they really never interfered with the show. And I would have just assumed just when you leave ESPN and you're going off to do your own thing with Dan and with Meadowlark, you know, then there's really no restrictions at all. You can really do what you want.
Yeah.
But you said ESPN really didn't interfere in the show. I'm just curious. I mean, listen, I'm not going to, you know, yeah, okay, maybe you could say a few words you can't say, but in terms of topics or just, you know, things you couldn't do or say on ESPN, was that appealing at all that, you know, the handcuffs would be off?
I think for Dan, certainly, that would certainly factor in. But Jimmy, you have to understand the dynamic of our show. It's the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gott. So there may have been conversations that Dan was having with executives at ESPN that I was, it sounds crazy, right? But when I tell you on the front end, we left there and I didn't know we were leaving and I didn't know when we were leaving. It shouldn't be a big leap to understand that if there were conversations about China, if there were conversations about this or that, they happened with Dan because that's not stuff I'm going to do anyway. Right. So they may have happened with Dan. Dan may have had those conversations. Dan doesn't tell me about those conversations. He wants me to live in this world where, hey, worry about you, your character, being a dope, being the person that you are. I don't need you in, you know, inside the serious stuff. And I'm fine with that, by the way. Yeah. Probably, you know, I always say the less I know, the better. Like less is more for me, Jimmy. And so.
Well, but being that character can also be a problem, you know, that can get you in trouble too.
If of course, you're not,
you know, so that's what I mean. I mean, now you could really take that character to another level.
Oh yeah. And for both of us, it's hard. When I say they didn't interfere with the show at ESPN, within the confines of ESPN, we knew where we couldn't, like, it's fairly obvious, right?
Right.
Here we can go anywhere we want. And that feels good. I could say whatever I want, whenever I want. The other beauty of this, Jimmy, is we're podcasting. So it's all being taped and then it's edited and then it's sent out. So, legitimately, I can say whatever I want. And if they don't like it or if they think it's important, whatever it is, it's taken out and then we put out the final product. Dan and I do miss that a little bit, the high wire act of doing live radio. I'm not saying we're going to jump back into it at some point. I'm not saying we're not going to jump back into it at some point. But I will tell you that we do miss the high wire act of doing live radio, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a certain energy there with live. But in this day and age, I would think you'd almost be happy to be away from live just because you're always on the precipice of getting in trouble for something. I mean,
you're one syllable away from ending your career. But that's kind of the thing that gives you a jolt, right? It makes you feel alive as you're doing live radio. Like, and just to be able to pull off, especially with our show, where ideas just grow so organically, Jimmy, to be able to kind of grow that live on the radio with a live audience was always fun to us. We may never do another live radio show again. We do them live on YouTube now. Do I have YouTube? We do them live on YouTube now. And that thing we did over the weekend was live. And that, you know, I guess we felt alive again. It's not that we feel dead when we're doing the show.
Right, no, you can't.
It's hard to recreate that. That's all.
You know, it's funny you talk about the goofball character and sort of, you know, offbeat character. We're in the same age bracket. Do you ever worry about two things? One, you know, you got to, you know, keeping up with what's changing and, you know, what younger people are into, because that's what advertisers want to be geared to. And do you ever wonder, like, you know, am I going to be, you know, I go through the, like, yeah, I'll watch the Brooklyn Nets destroy a team and I can talk about that. But I'd much rather talk about, you know, Kevin Durant calling Jay Williams a fucking liar on, you know, team, you know, like that's way more interesting to me.
Yes.
And then I'm wondering, am I always going to want to like gravitate towards the immature stuff? Is that always going to be the case? Will I ever not? What is your take on that?
It's a great question. I'm young at heart, man. And like, so my dad, who's 78, I keep bringing up my dad, he's still making the same goddamn jokes that he's been making. It's the same five jokes, you know? He gets the bill at a restaurant. What'd I do, break a window? You know, right. It's like, my daughter's come down in jeans that are all ripped up. He's like, hey, did you pay full price for those? And we laugh at the same fucking stupid five jokes that your dad probably makes too.
My dad is the same age, 78. And I can't even believe the things that him. It's not so much the jokes with my dad. It's the, you know, just being old. Like, you know, I had to take him last week to get a new phone. His phone was 6 years and he doesn't know how to use the phone. He doesn't use it. If I call him, it doesn't get answered. A text will get responded to maybe in a week if I'm lucky, but he still needed a new phone.
I gave up on Zoom calls during the pandemic with my dad because, you know, hey, let's do it for a half hour. 29 minutes was spent teaching him how to use the fucking thing.
So the only thing the only two things he can do is make a phone call and sometimes text. Yeah. That's 50.
Sometimes text? Like, I don't get it.
Like, if I texted him now, I might not get a reply till Friday.
Oh, okay,
like,
got it. Okay,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
Of course.
Sure. So, but we're in the store and he gets, but for some reason he wants the latest phone. He doesn't want to be behind the times, even though he doesn't use anything.
Right.
So he gets the phone. The nice lady there takes it out of the box to set it up for him. And now it doesn't have the circle button that the old phones used to have that he had. Because he had like an iPhone 7.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, where's the button? I'm like, well, now you do everything by swiping. And he's like, fuck, now I got to learn something new again. Like, I'm like, that's being 78 right there. Like,
Do me a favor. Like, when you've gotten the swiping, okay? Don't buy him the next phone, okay? Just let him swipe, okay? Once he's figured it out.
Okay. No offense, but that's a terrible thing. You think we've got the swiping down? He swipes from the middle. He doesn't have the swiping.
Get him the old phone.
He won't. No, he wants the latest. He goes, why should I have an old phone? I should have the newest model.
All right, so he wants the latest, but then bitches once he gets the latest, right? Is that
what you're saying? Exactly. Yeah, then, you know, like, it makes him angry. He has to put passwords in things. He doesn't understand. He's like, why do I, you know.
Anyway, like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You go.
No, take it. I want to hear what you said.
No, I'm just saying, I'm like, you don't put the passwords in. I have all your passwords in my phone, in my notes, and then I text them to you or call you and tell you the passwords. You're not even remembering them.
Are they all the same?
No, well, that's the issue. The issue is, you know, this site wants a capital letter. This site wants a character. This site says it has to be this many. That's what drives him nuts, that he can't just use the same one for every site.
Is he a Yankee fan?
No, thank God. He's not a big sports guy. So
I was going to say, if he was a Yankee fan, like, hey, Dad, not all your passwords could be Mr. October or something like
right.
that.
Right. Well, that's what it is. That's what he wants. He wants. Yeah, exactly. He did have a great line to me, though, when the pandemic hit last year. And I think I was talking to him and I'm just like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I have to write every day and there's no sports. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, write about Survivor. Like, that was his. So it wasn't really a bad idea, but
no,
you know,
it wasn't.
He's a Survivor watcher more than the Yankees. So reality.
Okay. So maybe that's why you gravitate more towards, you know, Kevin Durant, calling Shane Will.
Exactly.
The game.
Exactly.
But to answer that question, yeah, Dan and I are constantly worried about staying young, right? Staying young, staying relevant. Jimmy, we don't care about the way you watch TV, the way you consume media, the way I consume media, the way my wife does, the way my dad does, the way my friends do. We care how my daughters consume media. We care about how their friends consume media. And so, and then for me personally, my dad is like, he's 78, but if you were talking to him, he's sharp and he's fun and he's funny and he's in good shape. And you feel like you're talking to a 60-year-old man and he's got a great sense of humor and I got my sense of humor from my dad. And so, I still feel like I'm young. I still feel like I can, and it really helps to have two 17-year-old daughters that I have to keep me young. And then I coach this lacrosse team with my daughter and 20 of her friends, and man, that humbles me and keeps me young twice a week, you know, when we're at practice. And so, and I really lean on them and our young staff. So we're constantly changing and adding staff because we just want to stay young and relevant.
Yeah.
So the combination of my kids, that lacrosse team, my own personality, and really our staff, who for the most part is a lot younger than me and Dan, they really help me stay, you know, keep up with with everything that's moving, because it's moving quickly, Jimmy, right? Yeah. And the older you get, the quicker it moves. It's like, amazing. Holy shit, man.
It's amazing, yeah.
I'm like, 3 million people, like, I don't know the total number, but 3 million people are watching YouTube for 45 minutes at a time? What the hell? I'm still going to channel 2, 4, 6, 10, you know, the networks, you know?
I got into this whole thing with eyes in a few weeks on the pod, because right. I hate the Amazon Thursday night NFL deal, because I want it on cable, and I don't want to stream a game. And he was like, you got to get with the times, and you know, I don't want to get with the times. I get my way.
But I'm with you. But do you have Apple TV?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I have everything.
You can just go to Amazon. It looks like it's on your TV, Jimmy. I mean,
yeah. But then when but this is what I go. Oh, I go.
I say this, but I'm with you. I am with you. Like bleep eyes in. Okay. Like
no. I know how to do it. I know how to watch it. My issue is I prefer the kid. Like, here's why. When there's a commercial, I want to change a channel. Oh, what's on the Food Network? Oh, what's up? Let me watch, see what episode of The Office is on Comedy Central. I don't want to be locked into the game and I can't change the channels and flip around. That's why I like cable instead of streaming.
I understand. Oh,
I get into this every week, this stupid argument.
I mean, Amazon. I mean, they're just ruining everything, Jimmy. I mean, yeah.
I want to talk about freedom because you mentioned the YouTube. Do you have the passion for sports that you once see? I feel like one of the things about getting older too is because it's so easy to consume sports.
Yes.
It hurts the passion a little bit, because when we were younger, it was special to watch Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. You never saw Mike Trout unless you watched that game, or the NBA would be on TNT and you know, you got to see Jordan. Now the games are on, you can watch any game at any time, at any place. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's that I'm older. I'm not sure if it's because in this business, you realize so much of it is just bullshit. Like,
right.
I, at this point in my life, like arguing about Jordan and LeBron, I'd rather run in front of a moving bus.
Right.
What is it for you?
There's no argument. It's LeBron. I mean, it's Jordan. I'm sorry. Edit that. There's no argument. It's Jordan.
It is Jordan. That's why it's a stupid argument.
That's why it's a stupid argument.
Yeah.
It's a great question. It really is. I'm in the business, right? So it's like, I'm a host. So it would be ridiculous for me to say I'm not as big a sports fan as I once was. I always tell my wife, the second I stop caring about these games is the second I'm getting out of here. So I still care about them. Do I care about them as much as I used to? Probably not. It's also, Jimmy, listen, the LeBron-Jordan conversation, people who aren't doing what we're doing, they might have that once in a while. I have it like every week.
Right.
It can wear on you a little bit. Right. But the games themselves mean, like the Knicks making it to the playoffs this year.
Right.
I'm a big Knicks fan. That meant a lot. That felt good. I sent Tom Thibodeau a text just thanking him for restoring order. I don't care if we win a playoff game. Just, we're not an embarrassment anymore, you know?
That is an absolutely phenomenal way to put it. Restoring order. We didn't have order with the Knicks for 20. That's perfect. Yes. That is exactly what happened. Order was restored.
So I still care about that stuff. I care about the games. But I think what happens with age is, Jimmy, when we first started, I didn't have kids. I didn't have a family. Now I have all that stuff. My mom just passed away, not to bring this to a... So, like, perspective changes and responsibilities change. And so it's not that I don't care about them as much. I'm probably just not paying attention to all of them as much, you know? And I've kind of narrowed it down to, like, hey, in this industry, I kind of know what's going to be important, what's not going to be important. I don't have to watch every single game. I don't have to watch, you know, I wanted to stay up and watch Utah and the Clippers last night. I didn't do it. It was too late. I didn't kill myself for not doing it, you know?
Right. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, it's about prioritizing, you know, I mean.
But I will tell you 5-6 years ago, Jimmy, I would never have missed that game. Ever. Right. Not a second of it. But things change, right?
I think the pandemic maybe sort of changed things too. But like you said, once you have a family and you deal, you know, I have a niece. We've been having some issues lately trying to get some medication, and the, you know, insurance companies, 100 phone calls. And like, so if I'm dealing with that, am I really gonna have my day ruined because some pitcher is putting sticky tack on a baseball? You know, it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah, go exactly. God bless you. Right. You do it through like your kid's prism, and it's like, okay. Right. My daughter needs me for something. Is the Mets Pirates game, you know, game 52 of the really that important anyway? Right. No, it's not. The answer is no. It's not as important to me.
But I will say the one thing, and now with me with sports is what I love, though, I still love when I see something we haven't seen before. You know, there was that's what's still, you know, and there's definitely story. It's more about the storylines and the play. See, I get it. You guys talk to so many players that you probably have players you like and then you're rooting for them more than anything else. So, that, sure. you know, that's a factor in it. You know, like Brady going to Tampa Bay last year. I mean, that was just that was phenomenal for us.
Yes.
How could you not be into that to see if he gets it again the way, and he gets it again? I mean, yeah, that stuff still gets me.
That's
you know,
the goosebump stuff, right? Like right. Brady doing that and like he beat Belichick and all that kind of stuff. It's it becomes more macro as we get older. Like those big time events become more and then, you know, the minutiae, you know,
right.
Okay, so you know what? Lindor didn't get a bunt in the fourth inning. Okay.
Exactly. Right. That's right. right. Yeah, you know.
But what are some of those other moments? Like what are those like you're right. That Brady moment.
Well, I thought the Knicks thing was amazing.
Yes.
I mean, seeing the Garden that night with 15,000 people in it was tremendous. Marv doing a game at the Garden again was tremendous last week.
That's kind of the stuff, though, Jim. Like that's kind of where I'm at. It's like Marv Albert doing the Eastern Conference Finals. Like that voice is associated. That it's the NBA for me growing up, right? So for him, like I'll be glued to those games regardless of who's playing, not for the games, for Marv, right? Yeah, but that's us getting old, right? Yeah, that's us.
I was really into seeing if LeBron and AD could knock off the Nets, but now they got hurt. So to me, the NBA is in a rough. This is rough now because the Nets are just going to steamroll everyone. Yep. There's going to be no excitement. There's no joy in them winning the title. They put three of the greatest players together, and they won a title. No one in Brooklyn cares. No one in New York cares.
Right. Well, Jimmy,
and on top of all that, and they played nine regular season games together. They're going to win an NBA title. It's all, you know.
And here's the thing. They don't need the third. That's the problem. That's why I say this all the time. Kevin Durant is – listen, I don't care. Like, Kevin Durant's tweeted at me before. Doesn't He's mismanaged his career from this standpoint. He would have. We all see what a great player he is. He would have won these championships had he just stayed with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. The fact that he had to go to the greatest team ever in Golden State, who had already won championships, and so then he finally maybe he gets it right. Hey, not the Knicks. Going to go to Brooklyn. I'll do it. Just me and Kyrie. I'll be the lead guy. Let's go. Right, and that's having won a championship in ever. And so, but then James Harden comes in. And then James Harden goes out, and they still beat Giannis and the Bucks by 30 points. They don't need them. And so
they don't even break a sweat in these games.
It's unbelievable. And the notion that this team was not going to be able to play defense once it got to the postseason, it's laughable. And it's something Dan was saying the entire year. I'm like, listen, you can play five at a time, and three of their five are Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving. They're going to win the NBA title. And so I think I'm with you, Jimmy, unless – I mean, maybe Utah's a lot better than all of us think, but I don't think
they're not beating those three players.
Yeah, but that team is symbolic of sports in 2021. Three guys playing nine regular season games together, we go win a title. We don't need one of them.
That's it right there. It's a perfect summary. Yeah. The other thing I'm into, but it doesn't move the needle, unfortunately, and here in New York it's tough, is Ohtani. I mean, I've watched baseball my whole life. You got a guy leading the league in homers and pitching every 5 days. It's remarkable. The Angels are not moving the needle in New York.
No, but Jimmy, tell me if you agree with this. I said in one half, Derrick Rose became a bigger star in New York than Kevin Durant will ever be. Is that fair?
Pretty true. That's true. There is zero buzz for the – I mean, I'm on Long Island, so it's a little different, but
– No buzz.
I have no one talking about the Nets ever.
No.
The Knicks, there was major buzz.
They get to the finals and lose. Then people will talk about them because they want to bash them. But that's what those guys signed up for. But Jimmy, we're at an age with COVID, the pandemic and stuff. Like, we have finally realized there are UFOs flying around up there and no one seems to give a shit.
No one's talking about that. Yeah, that totally came and went. Yeah. I'm amazed at the stories that come and go. I'll tell you, I don't want to get into it because it's a whole... The Ellie Kepner story from this week was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen in my life. Like, and it, no one like talking. I'm like, wait a second. Like, she went to a ball and it was white supremacy. She's on The Office. What? And she's like, what? It was just, and then she apologized. Oh my God.
What do you chalk that up to?
I chalk that up. I chalk it up to everyone's insane. That's what I chalk it up.
But Jimmy, 2 years ago before the pandemic, let's say, if I told you there were fucking UFOs flying around the sky and people were sighting them, don't you think that'd be a bigger story?
But there's a lot of people who always believed in UFOs. But yeah, I would have definitely thought it was a bigger story.
Yeah, but we have actual credible people who are saying, yeah, I saw them. You know, it's like crazy.
You know what it is?
Because the Pentagon, Jimmy. How can you be
even if UFOs are flying around, it can't compare to U.S. politics. So it's like, that's what the issue is.
Yeah, you're right.
So wait, we mentioned the freedom. You guys did a 24-hour marathon Friday starting at noon to Saturday.
Yes.
Got 3 million views on YouTube. So I assume you were shocked by that number based on what you said earlier.
Yeah, I was shocked by that number. I mean, yeah. I was happy by that number. I knew our audience would come strong, and they did. They always do. You know, we had a lot of guests on. It was a really good job by the entire MetalArk team, not just our staff. There were a lot of people that helped make that thing feel somewhat organized for me, and as organized as 24 hours of radio with no commercials can feel.
Right.
They really did a good job of just putting things in place to kind of keep it moving and help me and Dan throughout the day.
You had amazing guests.
Yeah, we had amazing
Barkley
guests.
And Costas, yep. And Pat Riley. I have to say, just from checking out some clips,
yes,
for me, from what I saw, Bob Lee eating a jalapeno pepper and saying "Holy shit" was the highlight for me of your 24-hour broadcast.
Amazing. It was amazing. The face of journalism, Bob Lee. Yes. Bob Lee. But there's Bob Lee, right? Like Bob Lee looked like a different person. Sounded like a free man there. Like he wasn't stiff and starched up. He's the best we ever had. Like for me, Bob Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, he was he's as good as it gets. But yeah, that was a cool moment. It was 24 hours. It was exhausting. I'm certain we got on each other's nerves. I know we did. It was impossible not to. Riley was great. Bob Lee was great, as you mentioned. Having Mike Schur come on, Ken Tremendous on Twitter, and do my weekend observations was one of the coolest things I ever got to witness. I think our fans were doing a vote, and they said that was the number one thing for them. He was a writer on The Office, Parks and Rec, all those stuff. I mean, Mike Schur is, within the Hollywood circles, is a pretty big name. And so, yeah, we had some really cool, amazing moments. 3 million people on YouTube. Jimmy, that's just me being old. Like, I don't watch stuff on YouTube, okay?
Right.
But if we have a whole bunch of young people in our audience who want to watch stuff on YouTube, then we'll be there for you, because we just started the Levitards and Friends YouTube channel, and that's where we hear that. Listen, it's changing. So I asked my kids, hey, we had 3 million people across all the platforms. They were watching YouTube for 45 minutes at a time. Does that shock you? My two 17-year-old daughters were like, no. That's what they watch, Jimmy, YouTube and TikTok, you know?
And the 40, I mean, now listen, I'm older, so I'm not as surprised as you by people watching on YouTube. I'm a YouTube guy. 45 minutes, though, that's, you know, for people of all age. I mean, listen, whether you're 13 or whether you're 70, you have no attention span anymore. Right. That's just the way. I mean, you know, you have 8 devices going. You know, you got 2 TVs, your phone is on, your iPad. So to lock in for 45 minutes, I think that's more impressive than the 3 million views almost.
You know what? And I'm glad you said that because you're right. So maybe I was blown away by the 3 million views, but the people I talked to, they weren't, right? So
yeah.
The 45 minutes, because I have people telling me who work at our company, hey, people go on YouTube, they watch 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half, right. 2 minutes tops, 45 bleeping minutes. Like that's crazy. And so, you know, we'll see. We're going to try some more of these and you know, like tomorrow we'll be live on YouTube, right? So we'll be live on the YouTube channel. So we'll see how that goes and we'll have some fun with it. Our audience loves the live element of it as well. I know they do. They like kind of going on the journey along with us, seeing us and see, you know, the mishaps, see all the great moments, see me stumble, see Dan stumble, see us fight. We're a family. And so I think they kind of like to peer in on what's going on with the family. And I think what our show has really, you know, kind of figured out, whether it's on radio or now in this digital age, in terms of people watching, we have a loyal audience. I don't want to give us too much credit. They're going to watch if we just sit there and do nothing at times. But we have a very unique style of being able to come up with something on air and carry it through for a couple of hours and give our audience some sort of payoff at the end. And so they're just staying there to see what the payoff is going to be. And was it worth it to stick around that long to get the payoff? So
we know the audience has and will stick with you guys leaving ESPN. But what's been the, I mean, like we've talked about it throughout, you have a unbelievably loyal audience. What's been their reaction to the, you know, this phase of the show? Are they excited? Do you guys get any negativity from the audience? Where are they at with what's going on now?
So I think our audience is happy if we're happy, right? And I think they're happy as long as we're giving them what we've always given them, right? Now, we're giving it to them 3 days a week as opposed to 5 days a week. But we're also doing it with very limited commercials. But Jimmy, I will tell you this before I fully answer that question. I stopped living in the mentions part of social media, like Fiverr's. Anyone who asks me, that's the advice I give them. Right. Like the mentions on Twitter or Instagram, or if you're watching YouTube live and you're paying attention to the comments, I don't want to live there, man. That's a negative space. It's a space I don't want to be in. I realized a long time ago, we're not going to please everyone, and I don't really give a shit who we please, to be honest with you. Like, if you like us, you like us. You don't like us, you don't like us. I'm not going to sit there and read why you don't like us and beat myself up about it for hours that someone doesn't like doesn't like me, my personality, or something I said. So I can't like give you a full, I can tell you we were always ranked on in Apple Sports and Rec. It was like third, right? We were third. It was repurposed version. And now I think we're sitting at number one. And I'm telling you, the numbers have gone up since we left ESPN. So I think what our audience is saying is, hey, we love these guys. We love what it is they're doing. We don't care if it's 3 days a week. We'll take it in any form. And I think what they're seeing here is, holy shit, these guys untethered, can go off and wander in all these different places and places they've probably never been before. I think there's a newness for our audience that, like, holy shit, we're 20 years into this and these guys are just now doing new things that they've never done before.
That's huge.
And I think that's refreshing for all of us, right?
Yeah.
For all of us. Sure. So I can only base it by the rankings, right? And the rankings suggest that our audience is loving it. And we're truly grateful to them, Jimmy. I'm telling you, like going back to the confidence leaving on January 5th, I would have had zero confidence if not for our audience. They gave me and Dan the confidence to do what it is that we're doing.
Is the 3 day a week thing permanent? Are you guys going to expand?
So I think those are all things we're trying to figure out with our partner at DraftKings. It's kind of like this. Do you guys like 3 days a week? Do you like it? Which I'm kind of getting used to it, Jimmy. Ain't going to lie to you. You know, I mean, you and I will be done with this. I'll go tee off and play some golf, and I got a day off in the middle of the week, and then I got a 3 day weekend. You know.
Yeah.
And Friday,
I'll say this as a loyal, diehard Howard Stern listener.
Yes.
The 3 day a week thing ends up pissing people off. You guys are sports. It's a little different. Maybe you get away with it, but you're really not sports. You guys won't have the vacation time that Howard has, but the audience is going to get.
They've already gotten on us a bit.
But know what it is?
They call us lazy. Jimmy, lazy. We just did 24 hours of straight, fucking straight radio, Jimmy. Live. 24 hours straight. I haven't slept in days. You guys are lazy. You better be there on Monday. It's like
I have a couple of buddies who will text me constantly complaining about Howard's schedule. And I say the same thing every time. Would you turn that deal down or would you take that deal? Oh, no, it's a great deal. Like, yes, you got to shut up. Now, the thing is, you pay for Howard. You pay for Sirius. You're not paying for your podcast. So it's an apples and oranges thing. But, you know, people always want more. But 3 days a week is good.
But I will say this. The way we're trying to do it. So Stupidity is released on Wednesdays, right? So we're trying to give our audience. It might not be the exact show that they're accustomed to, but we try to give them a little something. So Dan has his own podcast with South Beach Sessions.
Right.
I have mine with Stupidity. The Shipping Container has theirs with Mystery Crate. And we try to release those podcasts within our network on days that we're not on. Listen. Wednesday is like, you know what Wednesday is. It's like media dump. It's like media fluff day. There's nothing going on. And so that's why we kind of chose no Wednesday. And then Fridays, people are headed into their weekends, right? And so you always wonder how much are people really paying attention and listening to on Friday. But what Dan and I have kind of figured out here is, okay, maybe we won't do 3 hours on a Wednesday. Like we came on after the draft, the NFL draft, Dan and I, and we just did in a Zoom right where I'm sitting right now. And we did an hour on the NFL draft and we put it out on a Wednesday and it went bananas. People were, and they were grateful because we were doing a show on a day that we wouldn't normally do it. So the way this is going to work is with our partners, Dan and Stu, do you guys want to do radio 5 days a week? And whatever that answer is, okay, well, where do you want to do it? Right. But we haven't figured that out yet. And I know our audience wants 5 days a week. And we might get to it. We might just get to it by doing podcast, or or maybe we'll go back to doing live. But all those decisions will be made with our new partners. But ultimately, it'll be me and Dan having the final say on what it is that we want to do. And so I'm just not sure yet. We're just kind of we're starting to figure it out. That's all.
Give me your favorite and least favorite thing about podcasting. There's no more TV, ESPN. You're just doing the podcast. Favorite and least favorite thing about it.
My favorite thing about it is the ability, you know, there's so many times when you're doing a live show and then you listen back to it or you think back to it and you're like, fuck, man, we missed such a great opportunity. That doesn't happen anymore, right? If you take your time with the podcast, maybe you'll think of that joke an hour later about something you were doing an hour before, but then all you have to do is just say it into the microphone and let your producers do what they do, which is a masterful job at editing, right?
Right.
And I think that's the most important. So I love that element that you could really almost get things exactly right. You could do them over if you didn't say something correctly. So I do like that element. But at the same time, and this is going to sound crazy, what I miss most about live, I miss the live element of it. I miss effing up in front of, you know, a million right. people listening and watching on TV.
I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Like,
for sure.
It's I'm more energized when we're doing it live than I am right. when we're recording, because simply because I have to be less aware when we're recording. Yeah. You know, I'm not as alert. I don't need to be.
And what's the situation there
Do you like podcasting, Jimmy? No, honestly, do you like doing it?
This I love. What we're doing now, I love.
Right.
Everything else about it, I don't love.
Okay.
The booking, the sound, the mic is this, the... You know, this guest wants to do this date, but at this time, this guest wants to do this. And I don't have a booker. If I had a booker, I would like it a lot more.
Okay. Well, do you want me to, you know.
You have to.
You send you someone, Jimmy? I mean.
If you can, yeah.
Staff? You want to, you know.
And then you have to be such a douche on Twitter promoting it constantly. I want to, like, apologize. I'm like, oh, God, I'm like, here to, but like. But the thing is people check Twitter at different times and you got to let them know, you know, what's going on. Yeah, so
you have to do it. But I guess what I was asking you is, do you prefer if
I like this? I like this.
If you had your way, what's your favorite? Well, I guess it's Howard Stern sports radio show. Yeah. I don't want you to have this. That. I don't want you.
Chris Russo would be my favorite. I have
so
no
So if Chris Russo just went to podcast. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think it'd be good? And do you think you'd be okay with it? Would it feel to you like the radio show does?
No, I'd say no. Here's why. I shouldn't say no, because here's the thing. Like, so Russo's on from 3 to 6 on Sirius. There's times where, like, I start listening to the show at 4. The beauty of, like, the Sirius app is I can, at 4 o'clock, start the show from 3 o'clock.
Right.
And then, so that's almost podcasting in a way.
Yes, I guess. But,
listen, you can't replace live, you know, like if,
yes, yes.
What made Mike and the Mad Dog special was, and again, this is before the landscape changed. There was a big Knick game, big Yankee game, whatever it was the night before. 1 o'clock, the blood pressure started getting up there because you were ready. You were ready for the intro, the monologue, who they were going to kill that day.
Yes.
You don't have that with a podcast.
No. It comes out when it comes out. Jimmy, right. I used to go out into my, I was in school, Mike and Chris were on. I used to go out into my car at 1 o'clock to go listen to the Open after a big game. Because you're right, I wanted to hear, it was appointment listening. We no longer have appointment listening.
Right.
The listening.
But even Stern.
It's listening when you feel like listening now. And I think that to older people like us, that's probably tough to digest a little bit, you know?
There's no doubt that it's better. It's just, there's a different energy and an excitement level that's not there when you sort of listen to it at your leisure.
Agreed.
And
that's what I miss, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that totally.
But at the same time, Jimmy, like, we make fun of, you know, listen, Sagat's lazy, this, that. I mean, listen, 3 days a week, the type of deal we just pull off with DraftKings. I mean, I should probably shut the fuck up because I'm probably talking to myself back into live radio 5 days a week. Okay.
Well, even if you did live radio one day a week, it might satisfy the craving.
Yeah, but that's the beauty. That's what this enabled us to do. If I want to do live radio somewhere 1-2 days a week, I can. And
it's funny because what you just said, we can wrap on this about, you know, people busting on Stugatz for this, that, and the other thing. You know, listen, it's your show. Any, you know, what we're in, it, you know, there's quote unquote sports shows. But isn't the most important thing at the end of the day, and what attracts, like you mentioned, the audience is a family. Isn't the best thing you could do, isn't the thing that really appeals the most to the audience is just ball busting?
Yes.
Isn't that what people want to hear more than anything? Yep. Even the sports debates. Now, listen, I'm not talking about the fake debates where, like, you know, beforehand the producer says you take this. I'm not talking about those. But even, you know, like everyone knows I'm a diehard Jeter fan. So people try to get on me about, you know, oh, his defense was, it's all, isn't it really at the end of the day, what people want to hear is just good ball busting.
Yes. Insults are the language of intimacy amongst males, Jimmy. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, it's a beautiful sentence.
I stole it from Levitard.
There you go.
But no, we talk about that all the time. I think, and that's part of why we love sports, right? It's that fraternity. It's that camaraderie, right? I don't want to make it just men. It's not. We have women on our staff. And like Jessica Smetana is someone she's as big a sports fan as anyone I've ever met in my life. And
yeah, she's like a colleague of mine. Yeah.
Right? And she likes to bust them a bit, right? She likes to get in on all that. But that's what we like to do. And so I think as much as you can relate to what it is that, you know, the guy in Long Island and his friends are doing on a Saturday and Sunday. Some are Knicks fans, some are Islander fans, some are Rangers, some are Jets, some are Giants. If the Jets aren't doing well, they're busting their balls. They're busting their balls about everything, Jimmy, not just in life, not just sports.
That's what I mean. Yes. It's not just, right.
Right. It's just everything. Right. And so, I think people, I think if you have the right family and you have the right chemistry and you understand that, hey, these guys are going to be mean to each other once in a while. But at the end of the day, just like my family, they really love each other and understand each other and care about each other and get each other. Right. I 1,000% agree with you. They care more about hearing a bunch of people talk and break each other's stones than they do about, you know, Yankees, Red Sox on a Sunday night in July. They just do.
I went out to dinner with friends Saturday night. It was the first time the whole sort of...
And you all make fun of each other, right?
So one of my buddy who organized the dinner, my buddy David, who I love, we were talking about we're all vaccinated and who got, you know, that's the big dinner topic. What vaccine do you have? So my friend David says he has Johnson & Johnson. So the whole night I just busted his chops about him having the worst vaccine. Now, again, if you did that on the radio, someone would probably be offended because someone, you know, they're saying like you're vaccine shaming or whatever. But I was like, I got to get a COVID test because now I sat next to David and I have Pfizer, which is the Rolls Royce of vaccines. He's got Johnson & Johnson.
Yes.
But we laughed about it for like a half an hour. But like, you know, that's what people want to hear.
Well, that's what people do, Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's what people do. So when they see these guys who have a platform, right? And like, oh, hey, they're doing the same stuff that I do at dinner on a Saturday night with my friends. Right. It makes you relatable. And I think
But you guys hit into that very early. I mean, I think that's such a huge part of your success. And you guys hit into that really early.
We made the show about us. Yeah, we made the show about ourselves more so than it was about sports. And we prayed that we were interesting enough that people would care about us enough. And I guess we hit it, but we got it from Howard and to a lesser extent, we got it from Jim Rome. Like Rome was great at creating, and he was one of the guests on our show, over the weekend, but Rome was great at all me and Dan wanted to do was create this community around our show. Mike and Chris were great at it in a sneaky way. My dad who loves Mike and Chris, I love Mike and Chris, Jimmy, I guarantee you're going to agree with us on this. I love hearing Mike and Chris break down a big game. Loved it. I love Mike and Chris breaking down the traffic, the parking situation. This is a disaster. That was a disaster. They need to do it better. Blah, blah, blah. I love that stuff. Love it more than. But what I love most about those guys is when they were breaking each other's stones, talking about movies, talking about a book, talking about playing tennis with a buddy of his. To me, that's when 100%. They were at their best. And it's when I was most engaged as a listener, you know?
100%.
Yep.
100%. Did you see, I tweeted a couple of weeks ago, a clip, an old video of them, of Dog talking about a story about burning his kid in the bathtub. Did you happen to see it when I tweeted it?
No, I did not.
I will send it to you.
I got to see it.
I will send it to you. The reaction I got from that was, it made me so happy because people just, I mean, they got three or four people who was like, this is child abuse and I can't believe you support this. But I don't want to tell you what happens in the clip. I don't want to give you spoilers. No. I'm going to send it to you and then you'll tell me your reaction. But it will be the best thing you see today.
I can't wait. You. I can't wait to see it. And that's something a very good friend would do. So I appreciate you doing that. So absolutely. Robert, did you hear Dog's take on Robert Saleh getting the limousine escort?
only Dog. There's no other radio host in America except for Dog.
So Dan is trying, he's asking me to explain what that was. And I said, what it was,
let me just tell people quickly, don't listen to Chris Russo spent his entire show one day last week or 2 weeks ago ripping new Jets head coach Robert Saleh because he got a police escort to a Nick playoff game. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
So Dan, we're playing the sound and we're laughing because it's just amazing. So he starts off with Saleh. So I think for a minute, Dan was like, oh my God, I'm listening to my co-host. This is what he does. Because if you really listen back to that rant, it's nothing about Saleh. It's all like the details that Chris provides about himself is really what makes that amazing. He didn't eat the dinner the night before. He's going to eat it tonight. He's going to take a gummy. He's going to watch the game. He's going to do that. There's nothing about Saleh in there. And so we're like, so we played it back like five times. And Dan's like, let's count the amount of times he talks about Saleh, the amount of times he talks about himself. And it was like 80-20, him just setting up, talking about things. But that's what makes him so great and so unique. And you don't really care about Robert Saleh. He doesn't really care about Robert Saleh. What you care is that Chris Russo did not eat his dinner the night before because he was playing tennis. He's going to warm that same dinner up tonight. He's going to take a gummy. He's going to sit down and watch the Nets and Bucks. I mean, that's what you care about.
He started the rant by saying how he read the story about Saleh in the New York Post while he was eating his Honey Nut Cheerios. And he goes and he says that he poured sugar over, and then he said he had an apple juice. And when he said he had his Honey Nut Cheerios, he goes, "I have to watch the cholesterol." But meanwhile, he said he put sugar on the Honey Nut Cheerios, and he had apple juice, which is all sugar. So like, it was, but that's why you love Chris Russo.
ADD to the max. He just bounces around. He chases every single thought. But those details about Chris, what he offers you, is what makes him relatable. No one really cares about his salad take. Hey, you know what? I didn't eat my dinner last night either. I'm going to heat it up. Hey, I put sugar on my Honey Nut Cheerios. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to take a gummy and watch the game as well. He's amazing.
You will love this video I'm going to send.
I can't wait.
You will love it.
I can't wait.
All right, I appreciate you.
I want to come back on and discuss just the video next time if we can.
You can come on next week and talk about the video after you see it, I promise. Okay. But let's get everyone. So Dan Le Batard and Friends, YouTube, podcast, Apple, Spotify, all that.
Yes.
What days? Because it's 3 days a week. Give people the days.
So the Le Batard Show, Wood Stugatz, we're going Monday, Tuesday, Thursday for now. If there are changes, Jimmy will let you know.
Yes.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday for now. So we have that. We have the Le Batard and Friends Network. You can subscribe to all these things on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Within that network is Stupidity, South Beach Sessions, Mystery Crate, the Brockmire podcast. We're developing and creating new podcasts almost on a daily basis. So what we tend to do is on Wednesday and Friday, we'll release those other episodes, Stupidity, South Beach Sessions, to give our audience some form of our show. And then you have the Le Batard and Friends YouTube channel as well. So
perfect. What's the situation in Florida with the heater done? Are there people at Marlins? How many people are at like Marlins games right now? Like what's capacity?
So it's the attendance is up a bit. And that, Jimmy, that's only because people haven't been out of their houses in a while. So like before the pandemic, no one would go to those games. They made the playoffs last year. It was a and no one's going to go again in like a couple of
the pandemic made people go to the games.
Just because they needed I saved up some money. Let's go do something, right? I need to get outside. Let's go to a Marlins game. Okay. But there's not a lot of people there at those games.
What are the Dolphins going to have on this? Do you know, like, is that, will the Dolphins have a full stadium, full capacity?
Well, listen, I mean, Jimmy, when we were in the middle of a pandemic, there are places in Florida you can go to where you felt like COVID didn't exist. In the middle of it, I went to Tampa for a lacrosse tournament and they were making fun of me for wearing a mask. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? So, we're open for business. We always, you're shaking your head. I am too.
Yeah.
We're open for business. The Dolphin Stadium or Hard Rock Stadium will be packed because listen, the Dolphins, people are really excited down here. We could say we're a basketball town. We could say, at its core, Miami. Yes, we've won championships. Yes, Riley's been great. Yes, I love the Heat. Okay. We had LeBron. We had Wade. We had Shaq. We had Chris Bosh. We had all those guys. No, it's a Dolphin town. And so people are really fired up because the Dolphins appear to be one of those teams that for the next 10 years are going to be really good. And so there's going to be 70, 80,000 people out there. That thing is going to be packed every single Sunday for Dolphins.
The Dolphins fans are sold on Tua? The coach is great.
Here's what they're sold on. They're sold on the fact that they have so many draft picks over the next 2 years. That if Tua doesn't work out, they could fix that pretty quickly by either drafting another quarterback or perhaps landing it. Like, listen, the quarterback carousel is kind of crazy right now. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers would come here, but, you know, you have to see what happens with the Watson case. Does that get resolved? And so what the Dolphins have is they have so much in terms of equity with draft picks, right? And they have cap room. And so that's what they have. And so I think fans are excited. Tua just needs to be good. There's so much talent around him. He just needs to, he doesn't need to be great anymore. He just needs to be good. And I think Dolphin fans feel like at least they have a good quarterback. Good enough.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
But you can fix it quickly.
You know, I just realized we didn't really talk about it. I mentioned it, but we didn't talk about it. But I'm just curious, you know, Meadowlark, you guys have this big deal with DraftKings.
Yeah.
Are there any perks for you there? You get free plays, you get to put money in the account. What are the perks here of doing a deal with, if you're a gambler, doing the deal with DraftKings for you? Any perks, or are they just supporting the show?
Yeah. No. So for me, here's one of the very cool things. There should be. I should have negotiated that. I did not.
Seriously.
Now I'm going to call my agent right after we hang up here.
$500 free play should be in the account for sure.
Well, Jamie, we did. So here's the cool thing about DraftKings. Was it the PGA Championship? So just like as a little test, we did a Beat Stugatz contest, right? For daily fantasy, right?
Yeah.
So this tournament starts on Thursday, ends on Sunday. You got to pick six golfers, whatever it is, stay on the salary cap and all that stuff. So we did it for $100 prize, right? And it was 200 people. And this is the first one we had done with DraftKings. So 200 people, free to enter, $100 prize if you win. And so I put my lineup in and then we release it and it sells out in 5 seconds, right? I end up winning, okay? I win the $100, right? Now here's what our listeners are telling me. The lineup I put in, Jimmy, would have won the fucking $1 million contest.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I am dead serious. I had Mickelson. I had all the guys who I won our contest out of 200 people. So the lineup I put in was a better lineup.
But can you enter legally?
You know what? I don't even know. That's a good question.
Tell yourself, you got to tell yourself that you couldn't enter legally, and that softens the blow.
Yes. So, to answer your question, the really cool thing about our audience, and you saw it during the 24-hour marathon, I don't know what kind of perks I'll get from DraftKings. I have no idea. I like to think the perks I get from DraftKings. They did this whole, you know, the course in Arizona, the Waste Management Open in Arizona. They now have gambling. It's all DraftKings, right? So they're going to be like gambling tents and stuff. And I get to go out there on that crazy hole, right? And I love golf. And so I'll be out there and hanging out with the fans and we'll be doing some fun stuff. Like, those are some of the perks I get. But the cool thing for our audience is during the 24-hour marathon, they're betting on things that are going to happen in the actual show. And so it's it's like over under. How about that? Yeah. Like, I love saying, how about that? Yeah. And I think it was set at 6. Now I control the outcome, right? And so, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun.
DraftKings should offer wagers during the show. That's a phenomenal idea. I would definitely, you know, I would like if DraftKings like put like, you know, how many times will Chris Russo say scenario
right
during the show? I'm there. Yeah, absolutely.
So they were betting on, will David Sampson appear, former Marlins team president? Will he appear at all on the show? You could bet on it on DraftKings.
Right. Excellent. That's it.
So as we started getting closer to the 24-hour mark, Jimmy, in the mentions, you could see people going, hey, Samson's got to get on. Samson's got to get on. And so my wife texts me. She's watching. She goes, I think people really like David Sampson. I go, Abby, no. They have a bet that David Sampson's going to come on the show. They don't care if he's on or not. So I think that's just
great.
I think it's a funny and unique and cool way to engage an audience during your actual show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Yep.
That's the future.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Appreciate it. It was fun.
Yes.
Be well. And we'll talk to you soon again, I'm sure. And have fun down there.
Jimmy, I appreciate it. And please send me that Mad Dog clip.
I will definitely send it to you.
I am off today. I will spend the rest of my day golfing and watching that in a loop.
You will analyze it like the Zapruder film, believe me.
I will. And then we're going to come back on and discuss it. You and I.
Okay? I will.
Okay.
All right. Take it easy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you. All right. My thanks to Stugatz. Great conversation. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Knew I would. He is great to talk to. Very fun. Good stuff there on media. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're a new listener, hit the subscribe button on the SI Media Podcast. If you want to leave a review and rate this episode, go for it. Appreciate it. If you missed any past episodes, make sure you check out last week. We had Doris Burke on the NBA and Evan Longoria from the San Francisco Giants talked about the big controversy here with pitchers using sticky stuff on the balls. And he did not pull any punches and basically said every pitcher is cheating. So If you missed that, give it a listen. LaGuardia was great. So was Doris. And again, subscribe to the SI Media Podcast if you are not a subscriber, please. All right, that wraps it up. Again, thanks to Sugats. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.